Hey, true crime fans, I'm Amanda.
And I'm her mom, Pam.
And we are inviting you to listen to our podcast, Enmeshed. We dive deep to give you fresh takes on stale relationships.
Join us every Monday for an audio journey covering the darker side of family dynamics.
Our episodes are around 30 minutes.
We get right into it.
We will guide you through intriguing, lesser-known cases
and famous crime stories
involving murder, deceit, and the entangled family members who commit these crimes together
or against each other.
Check us out wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
And remember, some of the most poisonous people come disguised as family.
Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of Crimes, Killers, Cults.
And rum and powder blue sippy cup.
And beer. Just two crazy Florida men drinking beer and rum and talking about true crime.
Yep.
And we have a guest tonight. We have Cassidy Collins. Say hi.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here tonight.
We're excited to have you, and we're gonna tell you all about it once we get done with our ado. awesome young lady with a great future in broadcasting and media, and hashtag we'll get there. But okay, that's Todd,
and that's Bill,
and that's Cassidy.
Hi.
So, you know, I was thinking, like, if we do CrimeCon, well, we are doing CrimeCon next year, and if we have, you know, merch, you need to get a bunch of powder blue sippy cups with our logo on them, and we both sign them.
Okay. I can do that. Actually, I like that idea.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. And I was also thinking that we could get like a bunch of canned sardines and put like Merino Speakeasy and our logo on them and sign them too.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. Just hope nobody opens them.
Yeah, right. So, anyway.
Yeah, Dolphins won again. Just got to rub that in.
Who cares?
I do. You like football, Cassidy?
My friends watch it, so I'll watch it with them sometimes, but I don't normally choose to watch it.
Oh. Maybe. Whereabouts you live, what area, and if you were a football fan, I would assume that you'd be pretty upset right now, because the Patriots got spanked today.
I'm not super loyal to the Patriots, because I only moved here a few years ago. Their fandom is like very strong, though. People are like diehard fans. Like their whole day will be ruined. So,
it's
a little too strong for me at this moment.
It was like 36-0.
Wow.
Damn.
So, and I'm drinking Bud Light, and you're drinking powder blue sippy cup juice,
rum and coke. Yay, rum and coke. Rum and coke.
You drinking with us, Cassidy?
I just have a non-alcoholic beverage. I'm only 20, so I sadly can't drink on the internet.
Oh,
yet.
In six months,
I'll be able to.
And we won't tell what you really have in that cup.
Oh boy. Anyway.
So,
Bill, you're gonna get us in trouble. Shut the I wonder if they could do that. Could they get us for contributing to the delinquency of a minor over the internet.
Well, we're both in Florida. She's in Massachusetts.
I mean, it's not like we're personally doing it. We didn't buy the shit for her, so I mean, shit, whatever.
Just juice. That's all it is.
Well, if you let it sit out long enough, it'll ferment, and then it'll be an alcoholic beverage.
True.
Yeah. There's that.
So, well, I have no more ado. Do you?
I have no ado at all.
Do you have any ado, Cassidy?
I'm ready to hear what you have to say.
So am I. I haven't the slightest idea what's about to happen.
Okay, well, this goes all the way back to our episodes 10 and 11, the story of the Faith Assembly cult, which was, you know, the cult that I was raised in.
Damn, that was that long ago?
Yeah, it was 10 and 11.
Wow. All right.
Oh, and by the way, we're also covering, the main topic tonight is Gary Plotch, a vigilante who killed somebody who abused his son. And we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that because we have a reason for bringing Cassidy on that ties to our episode 10 and 11.
Ah.
And something coming in the future, which is really freaking cool. Now,
Bill, stop dropping hints like that.
And, well, I don't want people like, okay, it says Gary Plotch. What are they talking about on Faith Assembly?
Well, I understand that, but don't tell them we're going to do shit in the future. You give it the plot, giving it away.
We are going to be doing shit in the future. This isn't our last episode.
I know that, but I can't believe you drew me into that like that. God damn it. Suckered me right into that one.
I'm making that into an art form.
Yeah, you do. You get me good. I get you good too. So it's all,
it evens out.
It evens out. Anyway.
So anyway, episode 10 and 11, our Faith Assembly episodes, and right about the time, I would say probably not even a month after we released those episodes, Cassidy here found out that her mother was also raised in that cult. And so, I'm just going to let you tell the story, Cassidy.
Yeah, so I listened to both of these episodes. It was just like a random afternoon. I just decided to listen to both episodes, all like 3 or 4 hours, however long it was. And I was like, wow, this is really crazy. And I tried to find just like as much information online as I could about Faith Assembly. And there really isn't a lot. Like there's a few people like Bill who have told their stories online, but there isn't really a complete story of what happened. So there's just a lot of missing information. So mm-hmm. I took a year and just like thought about all of that and like what I wanted to do with that information that I had realized. And then I had a break in my life where I kind of had time to work on something. So I decided that I want to make a podcast about Faith Assembly. I've loved just like true crime podcast my whole life, probably for the past 5 years. I've listened to them pretty religiously, like every single day. So to be able to make something that's my own is really cool. I interviewed about a dozen people this summer and heard about their experiences in Faith Assembly. So now I'm just working on editing it all together and kind of writing a script that seamlessly tells the story of Faith Assembly. So it's going to be, I believe, an 8-episode mini podcast series, and I'm super excited about it. And I couldn't have done it without Bill. He was the first person I interviewed, the first person that, like, believed in me, I guess, and connected me with a lot of other people. So thank you so much for that. It's been genuinely so helpful, and, like, I wouldn't have been able to do this without you. So thank you so much.
Oh, absolutely. I'm all about taking those pukes down, especially because the fact that that cult is still going.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's at the end of part one, you know, I kind of lost my temper a little bit, went on a rant, beating my chest, basically saying, you know, the podcasts are coming for you and all that stuff. And it was just like, okay. And I even dropped the mic afterwards, you know, when I was done. But, you know, it might have just sounded like, oh, he's just talking, you know, smack and all that stuff and everything. But you know what? Look at you. I prophesied and it came true. You're coming out with a very exhaustive series on Faith Assembly. So guess what? I wasn't just sitting there beating my chest because I was pissed off.
Yeah.
So that was a year ago. Yes, you were.
At the time. But I knew it was going to happen.
I know.
It's definitely a story that deserves to be told. So I'm happy to, like, give people a voice to be able to share their experience.
Yeah, and the way you conducted, I mean, I can only speak in my experience with you, but the way you conducted that interview, I wasn't kidding a few minutes ago when I said that you definitely have a bright future in, like, journalism or media, some sort of media. You're blah.
It's easy for you to say, Bill.
No, it's not. Apparently. But, yeah, you definitely have a future in that line of work. Yeah, if you want it. What are you hooking your trailer to as far as like a career or whatever?
So I'm at school for entrepreneurship. I go to the number one school for entrepreneurship in the world. I want to be a serial entrepreneur. I don't really know what kind of business I want to run. This is kind of a test to see if I like the world of like podcasting and media, and if that's something I'd be interested in going into and pursuing more businesses in, or maybe I tried and decide I don't like it. But I'm really just using this as a learning experience to figure out if it's a good fit for me, because it's something I know I love to experience. I just don't know if I love to create it. I don't know. I'm just kind of learning and figuring it out along the way.
There you go.
Okay. So bringing you on board here is just basically to let everybody know who you are and to be looking for that podcast when it comes out. So tell us, you know, about when it's going to be on, released and everything. You know, you've got that Instagram page, which I think the title that you came up, is that going to be the title of the series?
I think so. I think I'm set
up. I like it.
Thank you.
It's killer faith.
Yeah. I created an Instagram account. So if you want to stay up to date, you can follow the Instagram killer_faith. I think that it'll come out in February. I've kind of like timed everything out in my calendar and how I want to do it. So if I'm able to follow that timeline according to plan, it should be out in February.
Cool. And prior to it, you know, like, leading up to it, we'll have you on for a full episode dedicated on talking about it and what, you know, and we'll just let you tell your entire experience on how you, you know, what you did putting it together and all that stuff. And if you decide that you don't like doing, you know, the creation side of it, I mean, there's always media production. There's always media direct, you know, it's like you could be a media director or whatever, like a radio station or something like that. I mean, so, I mean, I would, yeah, you I just gotta say this because when you interviewed me, I thought that we were just gonna talk on the phone and discuss how the interview was gonna go. But you had like 20 questions ready for me, and we did the interview right then. I was just, yeah. That blew me away. I was just like, holy crap, this girl's good.
I was very excited. It was like we had scheduled it, and then the next day I re-listened to all of the episodes and took notes and came up with questions and was ready to go. So I was very happy you were willing to answer those questions right away.
Absolutely. I want to take those sons of bitches down.
Yeah.
So I want people protesting out in front of those churches. But it's kind of hard to figure out who's who because of the fact that they don't call themselves Faith Assembly anymore, and you know that's kind of smart on their part.
Yeah, definitely.
You think?
I have a refrigerator right here at my desk.
That's very smart.
So anyway. Yeah, I just wanted to have you on, let you introduce yourself to our, you know, just get you out there and everything.
It's all 40 of our fans.
Oh, we got a lot more than that.
I know, I'm joking.
Well, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you for coming on. Now you're going to have some fun with us on a completely unrelated topic.
I'm excited.
Now for something completely
different.
here we go.
All right. So tonight we're covering Gary Plotch. This episode was suggested to us by a good friend of ours, Mark from Mental Illness Theater.
Yay, Mental Illness Theater. I love those guys.
I love that name too.
That's my favorite name, like, dude. I like it better than ours. I do.
Yeah, I do too.
I wish we thought of that.
Well, they were.
We'd be a different podcast then, but I wish we thought of that.
Yeah, Mental Illness Theater. That's the greatest name for a true crime podcast. So, Gary Plotch was born November 10th, 1945, in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Right on.
He had a wife named June, and they had four kids, three sons, Jody, Bubba, and Mikey.
Bubba. Did they actually name him Bubba?
I'm not sure. Cassidy, did
you know?
Please
tell me they did.
I don't know, but my parents always used to call me Bubba.
I've never heard of a girl being called Bubba.
I don't think it was a compliment.
You don't look like a Bubba. But then again, I saw a video of, you know, family video from the Plonches and everything, and Bubba doesn't even look like a Bubba. And they had a daughter named Sissy, and that was her real name. Now, this is just a side. This is just a side note on something, you know, I was listening to a podcast episode on new podcast that I had found. It's called Unspeakable True Crime. And I haven't found this anywhere else, but she said that Sissy, as a young adult, actually got into a fight with, an actual fight with, God, what the hell was that woman's name? The woman who President Trump had a thing with and paid off.
Jesus, which one?
The main one.
The main one? Oh, what was it?
Yeah. I didn't write this into the notes. I've had these notes since like 2 weeks before. What,
you're talking about like a regular chick or the porn star?
The porn star. Stormy Daniels.
Yeah, Stormy Daniels.
Yeah.
You just had to point me in the right direction. I know all that stuff.
but apparently, you know, they had an altercation where Stormy, spilled a drink on her, like on purpose, and she whooped Stormy's ass.
I believe it.
But that's according to the Unspeakable True Crime podcast. So, but I couldn't find anything else on that. So, citing my sources. All right. I was just like, I gotta put that in there. That's fucking awesome.
Right.
So Gary killed a child molester.
Good for him.
In in public, March 16th of 1984.
Fuck yeah. This execution, that's the way to do it.
Yeah. This was captured on camera by a local news crew.
Oh, it's getting even better.
And this man had kidnapped for like a year prior, he was like a friend of the family, which we're going to get into. But he weaseled his way into their family dynamic and everything, and he was basically grooming and molesting Jody for like over a year, and then he kidnapped Jody and took him across the country. So we're going to discuss the timeline of events, and we're going to discuss the outcome of the case. And sources are documentary Unraveled Season 2, Episode 2, with a little bit of wiki.
That's a little bit of wiki.
So let's go.
I'm ready, I guess.
I'm ready as well.
Now, when we were hanging out at Crime Con with True Crime Kent, I told Kent about this episode. And his response, he knew the case, and he said, and I quote, "I love that video. I'm masturbated to that video."
Yeah, he's not lying. He did say that.
But
anyway.
But I had to throw that in there because, you know, shout out to True Crime Kent.
Suck so up.
Well, yeah. I want to be where they are.
I know.
I want to be further ahead than they are.
Yeah, well, if you can get your co-host off his ass and do shit, we might get there.
Well, gee, there's only one person who I could do that unless I pay Cassidy to come down there with a gun and be like, set up your studio and get the stuff going, get the YouTube page going.
She doesn't look like she'd carry a gun. Just saying. She probably got one, though, because it's the ones that don't look like it that have them.
So.
And the ones of us that look like it have a bunch. So,
so
hey, just saying.
In the spring of 1983, Gary Plotch was a 37-year-old happy father with a happy family. He was the coach of his son's baseball team, had a storybook life. His brand of parenting was uplifting by making his kids feel special. And he was a wholesale liquor salesman. And he earned a very comfortable living off of it. He and his wife, they would also host parties at their house where he would cook up for, you know, all of his friends, clients, and of course, family.
Were there upside down pineapples?
Probably.
She laughs. She knows what it means.
I don't. Elaborate. What do you mean?
All right. Wait. If you go to a party and you see an upside down pineapple, it means it's a swinger party.
Oh, so where do Lupus sponges fit into this?
I don't know. I didn't say nothing about that. Why, you got Lupus sponges in our story?
No, but then again, I guess you can't hang an upside down pineapple off of your car's antenna.
Okay.
You have no clue what I'm talking about, do you?
I don't.
The Villages.
Oh, is that what they do there?
Yeah. They have, like, you know, different color. They have, like, a color code of what you're into. Cassidy, the Villages is a huge retirement community in the middle of Florida.
Oh, interesting.
And
that's also, like, a huge, well, supposedly a huge swinger place.
Well, it is.
Oh, I know it is, but you know, they try not to.
No, they don't try. They don't try to disguise it. I've been there before. I've seen the Lupus sponges hanging from people's antennas.
All right.
But it's like, you know, the different colors of these sponges, are, you know, indicative of what the person driving around into. Yeah. I'm not going to go. I don't know what the code is, but so I'm not really going to go.
You
would
have surprised me if you did, Bill. I would have been, like, holy shit, Bill knows this. How does Bill know this?
But it's a retirement community, and it also has like the biggest STD concentration in the state of Florida because,
wow.
Yeah, you got to figure these people, they're checking out, so if they catch something or whatever, it don't matter. They're only going to live for another 15, 20 years.
True, I guess.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm not even joking.
I know. I know. That's the bad part. Anyway, moving on. Jeez, I'm sorry I even brought that up. I didn't think it was going to go on this long. Never mind.
Well, I did say that we were trying to extend.
Oh, I know, but I just I didn't expect that to go as far as it did. I thought it was just going to be a one-shot dud kind of thing. Anyway, moving on.
So, he and his wife, clients and family and blah, blah, blah. I said all that already. And one time he cooked up a big old jambalaya for his entire neighborhood.
With upside down pineapples.
Any idea why?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure.
He had gotten a brand new pot and he wanted to break it in.
Okay.
I'm telling you, I could totally be this guy's friend. I mean, I love this guy. And everybody.
No, you couldn't, Bill. Everything he cooks has pork in it. You would not have a good time.
This is true.
You gotta Louisiana, man. I mean, unless it's a crawfish, but even crawfish boil got sausage in it, so you're still screwed.
I'm allergic to pork, Cassidy.
Oh, no.
I'm like, it makes me violently ill.
I have a lot of allergies, so I can definitely relate there.
That was a sad day when I found out that the reason why I was always queasy after eating any type of pork was because I was actually allergic to it.
Oh,
that was a sad day.
Dude, I would turn out. I would just go. It would be over. I'd be like, dude, I'm you're telling me that I'm allergic to like pork
bacon.
Or peanuts? Dude, yeah. If the doctor ever told me I needed to stop eating bacon, I would just shoot myself in the head. You can't live without bacon, dude. Bacon is life.
Well, I apparently didn't take that. I apparently didn't take that route.
Well, you know,
because I'm still here.
Yeah, good. Because then we wouldn't be doing this.
And one thing about it is, like, if you're allergic to something, and you cut it out like I did, and then you eat it later, it's going to affect you 100 times worse than it did before.
Yeah.
And I found that out the hard way.
Oh, Jesus. Anyway.
So, but to say that he was a well-liked guy would be an understatement. I mean, everybody loved this guy. And, you know, based on everything that I found out about him, I love the guy too. Everything that I found out about him doing the research for this. But he also had a drinking problem.
I don't have a problem. I get drunk, I fall down.
But the thing is,
there's no problem.
You know, somebody that's an alcoholic probably shouldn't have a job as a wholesale liquor distributor.
Yeah, that's probably not that was probably not the best occupation choice for that guy.
Yeah.
But he didn't know his limits with beer, and he didn't really drink liquor. He just liked beer, and that I resemble that remark.
I'm an equal opportunity alcoholic. I'll drink whatever.
I think Gary would like our podcast.
He might.
But
anyway,
if he had a beer at lunch, it would continue into the night until he passed out.
How was he supposed to do it?
Yeah, you can't stop once you start, because if you stop, you're gonna go to sleep or get drowsy or whatever. And even if you start an hour later, it's never the same. You gotta keep.
Well, once you open a bottle of liquor, you gotta finish it or it'll evaporate. That's what my dad used to say. Anyway.
My dad used to say, you're not drunk until you're holding onto the blades of grass on, you know, to keep yourself from falling off the face of the earth.
Okay, I've been there. Totally been there.
Cassidy's thinking, what the hell did I get myself into? She's staying silent on that.
For this part, I'm staying silent.
Oh, boy.
Pull it together, man.
If you want us to dial it back a little bit, just tell us and we will.
No, you're good. You're good.
Okay. So a lot of it was due to his business clients, and they wanted to discuss deals over a drink. So he kind of eased into full-blown alcoholic later on in his life, like a lot of people do. he'd be schnockered at a bar, and June would have to come out and get him and pick him up. At least he didn't drink and drive.
Yeah.
That's something.
Yeah, I'll give him that.
But this caused problems between Gary and June. He wasn't abusive. I mean, he was happy drunk. Stupid drunk. You know, well, he was happy drunk, and then he just got stupid, which, you know, is entertaining for all the wrong reasons for anybody around him.
Yep. Like, I've had that guy plenty of times.
Yeah. So, I had a radio show with a guy who fit that description.
Hey, I haven't passed out on the mic yet.
Neither have I.
And I stress yet.
Oh man!
It almost happened the other night, dude. I mean, I was.
I know you were just tired though. You weren't drunk. You were just tired.
Yeah, I wasn't drunk. I was tired, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like.
You couldn't tell though. You could not tell though.
I know, I mean, because I kept moving my head so the glare from my screen was covering my eyes. My eyes were closed for half of that fucking show.
After the after the edits and everything, you can't tell that you were like, you know, running on.
Yeah, you cut out the podcast. I was tired.
autopilot with a dying battery.
Yes,
That's what you were that night.
Anyway,
so. Yeah, he wasn't abusive. He was just drunk all the time. So finally, June kicked Gary out of the house, and Gary moved back in with his parents. And this hit Gary extremely hard because he only got his kids on alternate weekends. And, you know, the alternate weekends was the only time that he was happy anymore. He was a great dad.
I know.
One time he tried to tell his wife that he hadn't been drinking anymore. You know, that he'd like stop drinking, but
that never goes over well.
Especially when you get caught on TV drinking.
Oh no.
Yeah, that'll do it. Hey, wasn't me.
he was caught on TV at a sports bar that was covering the local bar scene during a LSU game.
Okay.
And he's in there partying, just drinking. Ah! Go LSU! But so I could just picture, yeah, honey, I haven't had a drink in a couple of weeks, and she's like, yeah, well, that's funny.
Funny thing happened on the way to the.
Yeah, I just saw you. I just, but you went to O'Malley's pub to watch the. LSU game.
Why is it always O'Malley's?
I don't know. I just pulled that name out of my ass. but so it's like, it was it was apple juice. Now, he didn't say that, but still, he was busted. So I was like, damn it. So about that time, 24-year-old Jeffrey Doucette. He was a martial arts instructor, and his kids had taken an interest in martial arts, so June enrolled them in his class. So Jeffrey was a former Marine. He was a black belt in karate, and he was kind of a tough guy. And the kids liked him, and, you know, he taught all the kids. You know, all three of the boys and everything, but 10-year-old Jody was a star student. And he also taught the kids discipline and stuff like that, which as a Marine, I would imagine he was probably pretty well versed on that subject.
Yeah, I would think so.
Definitely.
So Gary would show up to watch the lessons, and he was grateful for Jeffrey being the role model to his kids in his absence. I mean, a lot of guys would They'd be like, get the fuck away from my kids. You know, but not Gary. Gary had no clue that anything was going on, and there wasn't. He didn't have any designs on June or anything like that. Put a knife in that.
Oh, come on. You just saw me take a drink, dude. I don't have my knife hand ready.
I say put a knife in that instead of put a pin in that. because we're a true crime podcast.
Yeah, that's good.
So, he started out saying put a pin in there.
I did. But I just had this idea. I've heard like 10 different podcasts where they say put a pin in it. Yeah. No, or put a knife in it.
Yes, yeah, very fitting.
So Gary and June had continued to have their Sunday afternoon lunches as a family, like every Sunday. So Gary himself invited Jeff over to one, and Jeff was struggling financially, and Gary basically took him in, just being nice to the guy. Hmm. He liked Jeff, and he wanted to help him. And the Plouches even ran a background check on Jeff, and it came back clean. So,
all right.
Jody continued to excel. And Jeff put Jody on his competition team, and he won second place in a championship. And then at a later one, he won the whole damn thing.
Wow.
So Jody is kicking ass and taking names, literally.
Right?
Literally.
Good for him.
So the friendship between Jeff and Gary and his family got even stronger. Jeff started helping out June with the kids and was spending lots of time with them, you know, with the kids and with June. And Gary at that point began thinking that something was up. You know, it's like, I wonder if they're doing something. But keep in mind, he's 38, you know, 37, 38 years old by this point, and Jeff is 24. Like, come on. I don't know. Maybe he thought that June was a cougar. Yeah, Todd froze. Is he frozen on your end, Cassidy?
Yeah, he is.
No, oh, you got back. You froze, Bill. You froze, not me.
That's usually the way it works. So
I didn't. I heard maybe Rose a cougar. That's all I heard from you.
Oh.
Well, but, you know, that's just me here. Hopefully, I mean, it all gets recorded, so it's all good.
Right. All right. But, yeah, they weren't having relations, but Jeff was actually taking the male role in this household, and it was kind of driving Gary nuts, and I can definitely see why.
Yeah.
But Jeff really didn't have his sights set on June at all. He had his sights set on Jody.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you saw that coming.
Oh, yeah. Well, you talked about it at the beginning. I knew it was going to happen.
Well, I did. I purposely left out his name. I mean, there could be some other evil son of a bitch that appears later in the story. And then maybe Jeff would, like, whoop the guy's ass, and then Gary would shoot him in the head. No?
Nah. No. I knew it was that guy as soon as you said he was a 24-year-old karate guy. Yeah. The only reason 24-year-old karate guys fucking start a school is because they want to... Never mind. It's because they are that way.
Well, put a knife in that.
Again, I'm running out of knives. Ah, oh, see, I've told you, I'm out of knives. There, I found one.
Okay. One Sunday, Jeff showed up and asked if he could take Jody to run errands with him. And Judy agreed because they had done this many times before. She said to have Jody back in an hour or so, and Jeff said, okay, and off they went.
Okay.
Okay.
Jesus.
Hours went by with no sign of Jeff or Jody, and June started getting worried. And by nighttime, June was scared, so she called Gary, but she couldn't, you know, she couldn't find him. He wasn't at work either, and this was long before cell phones. So June had a friend at the sheriff's office who contacted the FBI. And around midnight, Gary showed up at the house, and he had been out of state for a friend's wedding. And Gary began thinking over, questioning everything. It's just like, was Jeff just using them to get to Jody?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and this whole time that he thought that Jeff wanted June, and God, there's too many J's in this.
Yeah.
I know, right?
But he was obviously way off.
Obviously.
But the police made a discovery about Jeff, and he did actually have a record, although it wasn't a criminal record. Or it wasn't like a violent. When they did a background check, they're searching for like child abuse or domestic violence or murder or whatever. They're not looking for petty theft and fraud. But lots of creditors were searching for him. And
oh wow.
Yeah. So they should have run his credit report.
Yeah. What year is this? What year are we in right now?
We are in 84. Or 83 or 84.
Dude, that would have taken like a year to get somebody's credit report. Can't just look it up on the internet.
Free credit report dot snail mail.
Dot snail mail. Oh, Jesus.
See, Cassidy, back in the day, we had to actually like write something down on a piece of paper, put it in an envelope, lick the envelope to seal it, and then put a stamp on it, and then drop it in the mailbox. And then it would take like two or three. I'm just messing with you.
Do they even have stamps anymore, dude?
Yeah, they do.
Things like printed on the envelopes that I get in the mail. There's no stamps anymore.
Oh, you can get stamps.
Oh, actually, that's true.
I mean, I know you can still get stamps, but it's just...
I think it's normally printed on the envelope, though. It's like stamps are for collecting.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
stamps are for collecting now. Nothing to do with postage.
Well, but, I mean, all you have to really do is get, like, a extension for your, you know, for your printer. And just load envelopes in it instead of paper, and boom, there you go. But you can still get stamps. I know because...
Well, like she said, it's for collectors.
I bought stamps last year.
Yeah, last year. Did you just hear yourself?
Last year. Was it that far away from this year?
Yeah, they're only a day apart.
I got none. Mark that down, because anyway, that doesn't happen very often. Where I got nothing.
But, I know. Where he's got nothing. He either usually just dies laughing or he comes right back at me. And it's the same way when he gets me. I either just sit here and die out laughing, or I'll hit him back with something. But most of the time I just shake my head and tell him to shut up.
Yeah.
Right now, all we see is your head.
But anywho, moving on. Yeah, well, I just looked at your screen. You were down to like one little yellow tiny bar, dude. You ain't coming through so good.
I am on my end.
Well, that is what it is. I'm full green on my end, so fuck you. I don't care.
The days went by, and there was a national manhunt out for Jeff and Jody, and there were no leads, and... As you know, the longer a kid is missing, the less likely it becomes that you'll find the kid alive.
Yeah.
Yep.
June wasn't able to eat, and she had told the other two boys not to say anything at school about what had happened. But after a couple of days, the principal called the boys and Sissy into the office, wanting to know where Jody was, and they had to tell the truth. So they had met Jeff's sister during the past year, and after Jody had been kidnapped, she called and told them that Jeff was a child molester. It's like, don't you think that that's information that maybe should have come out? You know, maybe you're calling us now when our kid is gone. Why didn't you call us when our... but Jeff's whole family's fucked up.
Apparently.
Yeah, sounds like it.
So Gary probably took it the worst, because he had encouraged the kids to hang with Jeff, and he was guilt-ridden, angry, and he didn't know what to do.
Can't blame him.
So, no, and, you know, so 9 days later, still with no leads, the phone rang. 9 days. But the phone rang and it was a collect call from Jeff, and June, of course, accepted the charges. Jeff said that Jody was fine. Don't worry, Jody's fine. You know, he was acting like nothing was wrong, and he's playing mind games, if you ask me. He even said that June and the other two boys should join him. Didn't say anything about Sissy.
Right.
Which, I mean, he said that they were in New York, and he demanded that they all live together as a family. June told Jeff to fuck off.
Good for her.
Yeah.
She saw through his bullshit.
Better late than never. But
well, you know.
But she's just like, look, we can figure it out if you just bring Jody back. And it's speculated that this whole thing could have been brought on because he was paranoid about the creditors who were after him, one of which he owed $15,000 to.
Ouch.
And it pushed him over to the edge. And I'm thinking that these creditors were more likely loan sharks looking to kneecap Jeff. Because, I mean, think about it. I mean, if you owe a creditor, you know, $15,000 or whatever, it's like on a personal loan, they're going to, if you have any collateral, they're going to collect it. Or they're just going to put a bump on your credit report and maybe file charges.
Yeah.
You know, there's no debtor's jail. You're not going to go to jail for being in debt. Otherwise.
Dude, that's the American way, man. They want to keep you in debt. They ain't going to put you in jail. Or just have another credit card. Here you go.
Right. So I honestly think that he had dealings with loan sharks because, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Worst case scenario, if it's legally, you're going to get your car repossessed or something like that.
Yeah.
That's worst case scenario. But that pushed him over the edge, and I already said that. But Jeff told June that if she ever wanted to see Jody, freaking Jays, man.
Hey, you're the one that picked this episode, man.
No, Mark picked this episode.
You agreed to do it.
I did.
Therefore, you picked it.
I want to pick an episode for Mark to do at some point.
What words does he stumble on? Make sure it has a lot of those in it.
Well, I haven't stumbled yet. Yet being the key word.
Are you the same thing I'm listening to?
It's only gone one.
Yeah, it's not as bad as you normally get, but
Not like our last episode where it's like the first 20 minutes of the episode.
Yeah, that one was off the rails from the start. Holy shit. Anyway.
I got better.
You did, but I got better.
Good. You caught that.
Yeah.
So, Jeff told June that if she ever wanted to see Jody again, she would bring herself and the other two boys to him. And this also makes me think that, you know, Jeff wanted to traffic June and the boys to make quick money.
Yeah, maybe. I actually, honestly, I don't think he wanted anything to do with June other than for her to bring the other kids to him.
Yeah, I agree.
He's going to cut her loose one way or another.
Well, I think otherwise. And we'll just, I'm not going to tell you to put a knife in it, but you can if you want to.
All right, how many more knives am I going to need for tonight?
I don't know.
So I'm running out. See, it doesn't even work anymore.
I wrote these notes like a month and a half ago.
All right. If I run out of knives, it's your fault. That's all I'm saying.
So June kept Jeff talking because the police had her phone line tapped and they were recording the entire conversation. If Jeff had had half a brain, he would have known this, but he's already proven that he's not a smart man. The police traced the call, and it had come from a motel in Anaheim, California, not New York.
Okay.
this chucklehead thought that that would confuse the FBI.
Never mind. I got it.
He's saying, I'm in New York, but he's calling from a landline. Landlines are so easy. If you've got a trace on going on it, you're going to find out exactly where that phone call came from. It's not like cell phones where they have to triangulate it between cell towers.
And it still doesn't take that long. I mean, that shit happens almost instantaneously.
Yeah.
There's none of that. Keep him talking. We got the trace going.
Right.
They just do that in the movies. Dude, that shit happens like that. It's done.
Yeah. On a landline, yeah. You know, he then yelled at June saying that they were meeting him there or they wouldn't be coming back. But by that time, the FBI in Anaheim had been alerted and they broke down the moat.
They knocked on his fucking door, weren't they?
Oh, they broke it. They kicked it down.
Good.
Jeff was arrested.
But how'd you get there so fast? I'm still on the phone.
This isn't New York.
How'd I get here? I was in New York a minute ago.
Aliens.
Fuck, we're idiots. Not you, Captain. Me and him. Not you.
No, we. Our listeners like the fact that we're idiots.
What was the thing you came up with? Something and obnoxious? Gritty.
Gritty and obnoxious.
Gritty and obnoxious.
I like that.
Yeah, we've kind of, I don't know how many of our episodes you've actually listened to, but this one is very different from 10 and 11. 10 and 11, we were still figuring stuff out. And
yeah, those were the days.
So what's your critique on this so far based on 10 and 11? Like, if this is
God, dude, don't.
No, I want to know.
I don't have any critiques, only good things. I like the side conversations. They're fun.
Awesome. That's because we do that.
We do that
a lot.
Yeah. The ones you hear in the episode are like half of what we actually do. Some of them.
Yeah.
Because it definitely helps you. It definitely helps you differentiate yourself, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
Which means that we're not monotone.
True.
Fuck.
We got a 1-star review where somebody said that we were monotone.
Oh, wow.
Like, we're anything but monotone. Damn.
I understand, because I can kind of get that way, especially after a few drinks. I kind of get like this. I was like, all right, man, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but
you know what I mean?
I'm the one doing the majority of the talking.
I know, but
I'm not monotone.
No, when you told me that, I was like, dude, it's me. It's totally me that she's talking about. I know it. But I barely talk. It's all you.
She said, these two guys are so boring and monotone. T. Murray 13.
Wow.
Well, dude, I'm fat. I could be two guys. Just kidding. I'm not that fat. No, guy and a half.
Jeff had hung up when the FBI burst in and the line went dead. That's monotone.
Really? He did, huh?
But Jeff had hung up when the FBI burst in and the line went dead. So what was only minutes must have seemed like hours to her, because she had no idea what the hell was going on. And then minutes later, the phone rang again and she answered it, and it was Jody.
All right.
So Jody told police that he had reluctantly agreed to go to California with Jeff. Jody said that Jeff had said that he owed somebody money and he couldn't find anybody to loan him to the money. So he was going to California and he was going to take Jody with him. So yeah, loan shark.
Yep. Dude, you got some great like 90s band names coming out of this. Yeah. Jeff told June. Jody had said that Jeff had said. I mean, dude, these are all great 90s bad names.
They are.
Jeff told June is a great one, dude. I might steal that. I'm going to steal that one. That one's going to be mine.
Jeff told June? Yeah, hell yeah, that's a good one.
That's a good one.
That sounds like it's a band that would play the same bland cookie cutter rock music that was passing as rock music back
that
in
was,
the early
that
90s.
Was the 90s, yep.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, dude. It sounds like totally 90s bands. Anyway.
Yeah.
So. And she still doesn't know what we're talking about.
Yeah, she does. She has Spotify.
My parents made me listen to a lot of 90s music.
How old are your parents?
My mom was born in 1980.
Fuck my life.
And your dad?
1979.
We're both older than your parents.
I'm way too old to be in this conversation. Holy shit.
I just
my daughter's to... older than her, dude.
Oh, so is my older daughter. But
anyway, enough of that shit. Moving on.
But
this old man needs to go change his diaper and get to bed. Come on, let's go.
That would explain why they were playing 90s music and not 80s music, which is where the great music was.
I see.
I'm not touching that one with a 10-meter cattle prod.
You didn't have to. I did.
No, I know.
So Jody didn't want to go, but he said that he didn't feel threatened, and he didn't have any signs of trauma either. And he said he was fine, but the police, obviously, as standard procedure, sent him for a medical exam.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff swore that Jody went willingly, but an 11-year-old can't consent to something like that.
Yeah, back then they couldn't.
They still can't.
Have you watched the news lately?
Anyway, okay, they went willingly, but that's not something that's going to work in the defense in the trial. That's still kidnapping.
Yeah, you're missing the point. But anyway, go on.
What is your point?
Don't worry about it. Go on. Carry on. We'll talk about it later.
Oh, maybe. Boy. I'm going to get a talking to.
Not really. Because I'll forget about it by then, so it don't matter.
Yeah, probably.
Because I do that.
So the story went national, and June, Gary, and Jody were interviewed multiple times. Gary's on camera saying that he was just thankful that Jody was home and that no harm had come to him. You know, June and Gary even started mending their relationship, and, you know, Gary was happy again, and he wasn't drinking, and life was good, but nothing lasts forever.
Nope. Very true.
And where the hell? My notes just flipped on me. They like jumped up. I gotta find where I was. Okay, got it.
Hey, at least he's not doing paper notes anymore. Like handwritten paper notes. That was a total debacle.
I did do that. So
anyway.
But one day the doorbell rang and it was a detective, and the results of Jody's test came back.
This isn't going to be good.
No, it's not. And it came back showing that Jody had been raped, and Jody swore up and down that nothing had happened, but the detective explained that, you know, Jody was scared. That's normal. But Gary exploded.
As you would as a father. We all know that.
June went to Jody and asked point blank if Jeff had been, you know, fooling with him.
See, there's another band name, June Went to Jody. I'm telling you, dude, you're knocking him out, dude.
Although Gene Loves Jezebel was the 80s.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean. All right, they're good late 80s, early 90s, like emo band names.
Well, Gene Loves Jezebel was early 80s.
Just let me have it. All right. Come on.
So, June went to Jody and asked point blank if Jeff had been fooling with him, and Jody said yes, and it had been going on for a year. He said that he had been embarrassed and that Jeff had told him not to tell, and that if he did, he would hurt Jody or his brothers or June. Notice he didn't say Gary.
Yeah.
Yeah, Papa Bear.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff had completely groomed him and taken advantage of the family. Luckily for Jody, once he realized that he didn't have to worry about Jeff anymore, and the truth was revealed, Jody went on with his life. You know, he just went back to normal, playing sports and with his friends and all that stuff, and
all right,
just doing kids stuff and everything. He said that, I want to have a normal life.
All right.
So, and he did. Way to rise above it there, Jody.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But meanwhile, Jeff was fuming. Or Gary was fuming.
As you would.
Jeff was panicking.
I bet.
As you would. if you were said piece of shit.
Yeah. This is all started as Jeff was encroaching on the family. The accidental touching, things like that. Then on these championships that Jeff took them on, they would actually share a bed where Jeff would rub himself on Jody. And Jody pretended to be asleep. The next night, he put his hands where they didn't belong, and once again, Jody pretended to be asleep. And Jody knew this was wrong, but he was confused because Jeff was a friend and not the monster predator that he had been warned about by his parents. And they were really proactive on this, as far as like stranger danger and stuff like that. They were really proactive on just drilling it into their kid's head, but Jeff wasn't this random stranger with a camper van.
Why is that always a camper van?
I threw that in there just to get a laugh out of you because you were needing it.
Yeah, I'm sure you. Nobody likes these stories, but I really can't stand the child molesting thing. It's really,
yeah.
It makes me want to gather up all of my guns and go hunting.
Yeah.
But anyway.
But the next day, Jeff talked to Jody about what had happened, and Jody pretended not to know what he was talking about. And at this point, Jeff knew that he had control of Jody, and things escalated from that point. Jeff ran lots of scams, and he even got Jody to steal from, June. He had been staying with his brother, but he got kicked out of there, and he convinced Jody to let him sleep in their garage.
Wow.
Damn.
This bit of information right here comes from the Unspeakable True Crime Podcast.
All right.
So, I don't want to be accused of plagiarizing. So, the thing is, the host of Unspeakable,
mm-hmm.
she interviewed Jody one on one.
Wow.
So that's how she got all of this information and why it's not really available anywhere else.
Mm.
Yeah, that's a great podcast. I mean, I sent her a message today on Instagram saying, that I, recently found her podcast and I was
and really stole from it.
Binging it. It's not stealing if you cite your sources.
You know what I mean.
But Jeff at this point was confiding in an 11-year-old Jody the way that he would an adult friend, telling him his problems, thoughts, and feelings, and etc. He had talked to Jody about going to California, and they took a bus there, and they wound up on Skid Row. So Jeff conned a local karate instructor out of $500. He's just like, I'm here, I'm a karate instructor too. Can you, you know, help a brother out? I'm on bad times. Yeah. He even tried to pimp Jody out for money, but Jody flatly refused.
Good for Jody.
Yep. So they checked into a motel, and Jeff raped Jody all night long. And then what do child rapists do after things like that? Either one of you can answer this.
I don't know.
Get drunk? I don't know.
Next day, he took Jody to Disneyland.
Oh.
And this was clearly in the 80s, because $500 would barely pay for one ticket nowadays. To Disneyland.
Yeah, but you get to all go to all four parks.
That's true.
Or so they say.
I just want to go to the Star Wars park.
You can put it on your credit card to make payments. You know, you get a whole year for that much, man. It's not just like one day.
I just want to go to the Star Wars one.
Galaxy's Edge?
Yeah, I just want to go. I want to buy a ticket for that and only that. They need to put like a back entrance into Disney World.
Yeah, that's going to happen. Like, seriously, dude?
I mean, Disney World hasn't changed in 20 years.
Do you know how much that hotel costs that they built?
The one that's closing down?
Yeah, because
it was too expensive.
It's like six grand a person a night or something. It's ridiculous.
The Star Wars Experience hotel that they put up. But anyway.
Yeah, and anyway. We had to throw some science fiction in there somehow.
So, you know, going back to the present, and we're going to go back to the past too. But going back to the present, when I say that they traced the call, you know, it wasn't really in the conventional way. They recorded the phone calls but Jeff was having Jody call home, and this was before the demands for them to come be with him. And police had June ask questions, and she asked what time it was, and Jody said that it was 3 hours earlier than it would have been in New York, which is where Jeff had said that they were.
Yeah.
Jody said that they had seen, I mean, they had it pegged, but there wasn't proof. Jody had said that they had seen a TV show being filmed, and June asked which TV show, and it was Hill Street Blues. And they found out that Hill Street Blues was being filmed in California, so they narrowed it down. But the final knife in Jeff's back was the collect call, and that's what led them straight to the motel. Awesome.
See, I pay attention sometimes.
Jeff was extradited back to Louisiana, and he confessed to raping Jody as well as two other boys who were karate students. But he tried to justify it, saying that he was molested as a child.
Oh, Jesus, really?
Poor baby. Poor Jeff.
So was this guy even a Marine, or did he lie about all that shit too?
I think he actually was a Marine. I mean, like I said, I've had these notes for a month and a half.
All right.
I think I would have remembered if it turned out that he was stealing valor.
Yeah. Anyway, not those.
So he was looking at life in prison. And Gary wasn't coping very, very well with this at all. And yeah. Understandable.
Mm-hmm.
He was betrayed because of how he had let Let Jeff into their lives. And Gary started falling apart. He started drinking again. This time he had graduated to liquor.
As we all do.
Understandable. I don't drink liquor. But, guilt, humiliation, and failure can consume you, and it was driving Gary crazy. He wanted revenge on Jeff, and I know exactly how he felt. And we'll just leave it at that. It's hell. So, on March 16th, 1984, Jeff was brought back to Baton Rouge to stand trial. The family had gone camping, gone on a camping trip, and Gary was supposed to meet them there that evening, but Gary wasn't there.
I wonder where he was.
Cassidy, take a guess. Where was he?
It's not camping, that's for sure.
No, I already said that.
Maybe like a news studio or something like that.
Nope. One more guess. Jeff was in California. He had been arrested.
Uh-oh.
Gary was at the airport.
Yeah.
Because Jeff was being extradited back to Baton Rouge.
Calling Baton Rouge. See, I get to sing a song now because you always do it. Anyway.
Gary was at the airport disguised with a pair of sunglasses, a hat, and he had a gun on him. And once
Holy
again,
shit, this, it's D.B. Cooper!
Or Zodiac.
I'm Zodiac. Didn't Zodiac wear a hood?
Yeah, he did. So, this is also obviously pre-9/11. I mean, he wasn't going into where you board a plane, but, nowadays.
It didn't matter back then. You could go anywhere in the airport with a gun. They barely even. They just like, oh, you got a suitcase? Okay, you're going on a plane. No worries.
Yeah. Metal detector. Oh, that's my cash box. Yeah.
Just walk through this thing. It's not even plugged in. Just go. Come on, dude. It's fine. Yeah. Just keep it moving.
But still, he wasn't going to where you board the plane and they do more intensive even back then, but not much. Yeah. Not much.
They actually had the metal detector plugged in.
Yeah. So, these days you have to go through a metal detector just to walk into the building.
No, not really. But you can't go past the ticket gate.
Right.
Anyway, not the point.
So he walked into the terminal, and at that point, Jeff was being led through the terminal. And a local news crew was there waiting because, like I said, the story had made national news. Gary stood at a payphone. He was talking on the phone with a friend of his. And, as Jeff was led, by Gary, he just happened to walk right next to that pack of phone booths. And a phone booth is like a phone where, it's like a landline that you put a quarter in and you can make a phone call. I'm just picking on you, Cassidy. I know you know what a phone booth is. Right.
I hope so.
She's probably never seen one, but she knows what they are.
No, I've seen one.
Have you ever used one?
I don't think so. No.
Well, she hasn't been to jail then. anyway,
so we're just picking on you, Cassidy.
You're welcome to pick on you.
Because we're like cantankerous old men, and that's what we do.
So he was talking on a friend and as Jeff was walked by, Gary, still on the phone with his friend, just pulls his gun out and shoots Jeff right in the head. Hell yeah, you were waiting for that.
It was. Okay, I'm done.
So, the person, I mean, he literally had the phone to his ear when he did that. So, you know, the whole thing was caught on video, and he was quickly arrested. And Jeff was gonna spend the rest of his life in prison, but Gary wanted vengeance, and he got it. And you can hear in the video, like when he did it, you know, obviously, you know, the police are on him immediately, and you can hear one of the officers say, "Why, Gary? Why?" And well, I know why he did it.
Everybody knows why he did it. Mm-hmm. The cop knew why he did it. That asked him. He just had to do it. So he was like,
"Right.
Thanks for beating me to it, because I was gonna do it." That's what he was asking. Why? Why did you get to him before I could?
Well, anyway. But still, I mean, I get Gary, but I also can get, you know, it's just like, yeah, you know, there's also just like, okay, we know what happens to child molesters in prison.
Yeah.
It might have been poetic justice for him to do that, but you know, I know what Gary felt like.
Yeah.
But so Jeff is rushed to a hospital and he died the next day. Good fucking riddance.
Where is it? Where is it? Where is it?
So the story and the video went nationwide, which sparked a debate. And on one side of it, people were saying it was wrong to be evangelante. Yeah, an evangelante.
What is that, like a religious vigilante?
I guess. Could he use one of those back in the '80s when I was in Faith Assembly?
Right.
The other side was saying Gary did nothing wrong. So once we wrap up this story, we'll just talk about it a little bit. Just get some opinions on it, because I don't think there's a right or wrong opinion on this, honestly.
All right, I'll go.
So, ahead. Gary was sent for a psychological evaluation, and he said that he hadn't planned on killing him, and that the decision to do it was spur of the moment due to the voices in his head telling him to kill him. He believed that it was God who told him to do this to, you know, protect children. And, you know, I believe that he believed that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he probably did.
So the doctor concluded that he didn't know right from wrong, and so it was legal insanity. Therefore, he could not be prosecuted.
Okay.
He pled no contest to manslaughter, and he was sentenced to 7 years suspended sentence and 5 years probation and 300 hours of community service. He didn't spend one day in prison.
Good. He shouldn't have.
Nope.
Now you know my opinion.
So the family moved on with their lives, and Jody said that, you know, that Gary felt guilty about it for the rest of his life. And as a result of this case, tougher laws for child predators were put on the books to deter copycat vigilante crimes. But,
okay,
you know, Gary and June were back together, but they did separate again years later. And Gary died in 2014 after suffering two strokes. Jody became a star baseball player in high school, where he graduated with honors. He got a degree from LSU and became an advocate for violence prevention. He never thought of himself as a victim. You know, he doesn't condone Gary's actions, but he understands why he did it. And that's it. That's the case.
All right. Cheers, everybody.
So, Cassidy, what do you think? Should he have done prison? And like I said, there's no right or wrong on this.
Yeah, I like how the I kind of like the penalty he got. Like, there was a punishment because he did something wrong, as in killing a person, but it wasn't like his whole life was taken away. But yeah, I don't know. It's hard to find a right answer because both people did something wrong, but can a wrong be explained by another wrong? I don't know. It's very much so like an ethical debate without really a right answer.
Oh, I know.
I think like his punishment made sense probably. And it probably made sense.
They had to do something. They had to do something.
Definitely,
he got off really easy, but you know what? If I go and do something like that now, it won't be so easy.
Yeah, if they did nothing,
if they did nothing,
it would make the world a lot more dangerous.
The entire world would be out there freaking killing, which they should be, but we can't do that because, like Batman used to say, if you kill a killer, there's still the same amount of killers in the world.
Very true.
I don't know. I think that, yeah, it's just like the temporary insanity thing. I think that, you know, a lot of these cases that we cover, you hear it's like, okay, you know, Carl Panzram pleaded temporary insanity. Well, Carl Panzram did not, but I'm just saying it's just like, you get a big time serial killer or whatever, and he's like, oh, temporary insanity or whatever. And it hardly ever works out in their favor. I mean, where that's actually used as a as a legitimate defense in cases like this, or in any type of cases where there's a murder, it never works out. So what Gary's sentence was actually rare. That doesn't happen very often. But I think that I honestly think that it was justified. It wasn't just a defense attorney trying to, let's try this.
Let's try this. See if this works.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. Like you said, there's so few people that actually are able to get the insanity plea. So if he was able to, like, it means there were factors that caused professionals to actually think that. So they didn't just give it to him just because they thought he had a good reason for it. Like, actually had to be medical proof behind it.
Yeah, there was. I mean,
I mean, and that's the thing too. It's like, no self-respecting jury is going to convict him of being, you know what I mean?
Nope.
Because they're going to be like, no matter what the lawyers or the judge tell them, they're going to be like, if it was my kid, I'd have done the same thing. Because we're talking about Louisiana here.
Yeah.
Louisiana has more guns than Florida.
And just as many alligators.
Just as many alligators.
I'm telling you, I mean, part of me wishes that he had been sent to the same prison that Ron Dominique was in. Oh, No, I can't go there because Ron Dominique wasn't in prison yet at this point.
Yeah.
So, never mind. Strike that from the record.
Strike that from the record. Consider it stricken.
Although it would have been poetic justice if they had been in prison at the same time and Ron Dominique wound up being Jeff's cellmate.
Oh, yeah. No. Anyway.
Mashed potatoes.
Oh, God.
So.
Anyway.
So, what did you think, Cassidy? What did you think of your experience with us gritty and obnoxious assholes?
I enjoyed it. It was a good way to spend my evening. This case reminds me a bit of like the TV show Dexter, which is probably my favorite TV show.
His too.
Yeah. So
yeah, I love that show. In fact, our intro music is that's my song. I wrote it. I played it. I recorded it, but it's called Dark Passenger, and it's written about Dexter.
Oh, cool. That's really cool.
No, I'll shoot you the link to, you know, the Spotify so that you can listen to the song. So one person that we talked about was just like, okay, with that song really captured the feel of Dexter.
Yeah.
Which was what I was going for when I wrote it.
Cool. Yeah, I'll have to listen to it again with that in my mind.
But yeah, it was fun. I mean, thank you for coming on with us. And, you know, it was awesome. You know, awesome having you on and everything. You know,
yes, it was very cool.
Last minute unexpected. And, but still, I mean, it got your, you know, it got people aware of your project. Yeah, which I can't wait to hear it. And like I said, when it gets closer to when you actually have a release date, we'll have you on and we'll just cover the whole thing. And so,
anyway,
any last words? Well, Todd doesn't because he just said anyway.
Thank you so much. This has been a great opportunity. I really, really enjoyed it, and I'll definitely keep you updated on my project, and I'm excited to talk more in the future.
Right on. Yeah, I wish we could do an 8-part thing and then be done with it. Bill won't let us do seasons. We go like every week.
Wow. It's a lot.
Sometimes 2 or 3 times a week so we can get ahead so we don't have to do something for.
I don't understand these podcasts that do seasons.
Everything's like, in seasons, Bill. TV shows, all that crap. It's seasons. Everybody does it. Except
yeah, but
us.
This brand needs a break.
Except for this, us. We're the only ones that go year round.
This is there's a lot of them that don't do seasons. But my thing is, it's just like especially if you're trying to get up there.
Well, yeah, you got to start
like
out.
Like we are?
Yeah, you got to start out. But once you get there, you could do like, what? Do like 20 episodes and call it a day?
Yeah.
And fuck off for the rest of the year? Well, I mean, you still got to do research. So when you come back, you got shit to do. But you know what I mean?
I mean, it's just, you know, when you have the people's attention, you got to keep going. I mean, yeah. That's just it.
Tell that to fucking Game of Thrones. Everybody loved that show. The last season sucked ass, and we had to wait 2 fucking years for it. And everybody was waiting. Everybody's like, I can't wait for it, you know, and then it sucked ass. But you know what I'm saying? People are used to getting a certain amount of stuff and then waiting a certain amount of time to get a certain amount more stuff.
Okay, the fan base, the listenership that we have
they would probably all leave. They would probably all leave.
Exactly. We have to keep going.
I'm not saying that we have to do seasons. I'm just saying I wish we could. That's all. No. Anyway, okay, that's all I got to say.
I'd be really bored.
I wouldn't. I play video games, dude. I got plenty to pass the time. In fact, that's what I was doing before I got here.
One more question, Cassidy. Are you planning on possibly, like, maybe taking on another cult or another, you know, topic or something and doing, like, a super deep dive multi-part series on it?
I'm not sure. I think it'll really just depend on like how this goes, how it's received, the overall joy I feel from the process. Right. Yeah. If you ask me in 6 months, I'll definitely have an answer for you.
Okay.
6 months. I'm not gonna remember what I did tonight. You want to remember something in 6 months? It's all good.
Oh, well, I will.
Bill will remember, and we will ask you. I promise.
Yeah. Well, it was great having you on, Cassidy, and you know, thanks for doing it, and thanks for listening, everybody. We appreciate the hell out of it. You know, hook us up on, you know, on whatever, you know, like the rating and whatnot and everything on Apple. You know, leave us a comment or whatever. We appreciate the hell out of it. Until next week later.
Cheers, everybody.